NBC News World Headquarters in New York. This is NBC Nightly News with Kate Snow.
Good evening. 2 days after that rush hour attack on a London subway on Friday, we're getting what may be a first look at the possible suspect. Last night, police announced a second arrest in the case, and as Londoners return to work tomorrow morning, there will be stepped-up security in that city. We begin with a new video captured by security cameras and our Kelly Kobiea.
Is this the subway bomber just before the attack? Security camera video obtained by our British partner ITV News shows a man carrying the same type of supermarket bag found holding the bomb. The video, which has been turned over to police, was recorded just before 7 Friday morning. An hour and a half later, the bomb sent a fireball through a subway car, injuring more than 24 people. The video was taken outside this house south of London, site of a counterterrorism raid Saturday. Investigators were still searching the home today. The homeowners, foster parents Ron and Penelope Jones, honored by the Queen for taking in hundreds of children. It's not clear what connection the couple or their home have to the investigation. Our British news partners contacted the couple. They had no comment.
I've not always known them. They're doing what they do, you know, fostering kids. They do a good job of it as well.
Tonight, police are still questioning an 18-year-old man arrested in Dover Saturday morning, a key ferry port to France. And they have a second man in custody, a 21-year-old arrested west of London late Saturday night. Neither man has been named or charged.
Police have made good progress with what is an ongoing operation.
On the streets of the capital, a heavy police presence again today. The threat level was lowered to severe, meaning an attack is still highly likely. Kelly Kobiea, NBC News, London.
In France, four young American women were attacked with acid today. It happened at the train station in Marseille. Two of the women were treated for burns and have since been released from the hospital. Authorities say they are all students at Boston College studying abroad. A 41-year-old woman was arrested. Authorities say she had a history of psychiatric problems. They say there was no indication that this was a terrorist attack. As he prepares to address the UN General Assembly on Tuesday, President Trump mockingly called North Korea's leader Rocket Man today, while his top aides issued new warnings about North Korea and its nuclear program. We get the latest from NBC's Kelly O'Donnell.
Back in New York City tonight, home again, but here for a first. The president will address the United Nations General Assembly Tuesday, where all are familiar with his criticism of UN bureaucracy.
When do you see the United Nations solving problems? They don't. They cause problems.
Today, amid a flurry of wide-ranging tweets, the president weighed in on a dire threat as he described a call with President Moon of South Korea and taunted North Korea's leader with a new mocking label. Asked him how Rocket Man is doing. Kim Jong-un celebrates his launch of roughly 24 missiles this year, while world leaders impose economic sanctions.
This regime is so close now to threatening the United States and others with a nuclear weapon that we really have to move with a great deal of urgency.
A packed week ahead. Tomorrow, the president meets with leaders of Israel and France. Center stage Tuesday, where his speech will praise values that bind democratic nations while also calling for more urgent action.
He's going to address these specific threats of North Korea, Iran, terrorism, global terrorism, and why it is important that all of us come together and confront these as a unified body.
The president will get FaceTime with leaders from around the world, including British Prime Minister Theresa May, the Palestinian Authority president, and special attention for South Korea and Japan, vulnerable neighbors of North Korea.
We wanted to be responsible and go through all diplomatic means to get their attention first. If that doesn't work, General Mattis will take care of it.
And there will be some notable absences, of course. North Korea's leader never attends, but he is sending a delegation. China's president is passing this year, and so is Russia's president, Vladimir Putin. But the top official from Russia, Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, will be meeting with the Secretary of State, and that's happening tonight, Kate, right here in New York City.
Interesting. Kelly, you mentioned a wide range of tweets, some of them quite provocative, including one about Hillary Clinton today.
The president retweeted a tweet that shows a video of him playing golf and a real piece of video of showing Hillary Clinton tripping when she was Secretary of State in the airplane. What was added to that is a golf ball. It looks as if the swing hits Hillary Clinton. This is the kind of red meat that many of his supporters find entertaining. At the same time, tonight, the White House is saying they have nothing to add on the fact that the president retweeted this from someone who sends a lot of controversial videos out on his Twitter feed.
Kelly O'Donnell, nice to have you here in
New
York.
Good to see you.
At least for a couple of days. Thanks so much. We're keeping a close eye tonight on two big storms. One of them is Hurricane Jose, which is expected to bring strong winds, high surf, and lots of rain to the East Coast in the next couple of days. The other, Hurricane Maria, could cause more damage in already hard-hit parts of the Caribbean. NBC's Morgan Radford has more on that.
In Puerto Rico tonight, residents are gearing up for another big hit.
Everybody's getting ready. We're getting ready.
Stocking up on water and wood just 1 week after Hurricane Irma demolished parts of the Caribbean and tore through Florida. Now, two more hurricanes have formed, packing a 1-2 punch.
It's going to be a big deal for Puerto Rico.
Just off the Carolina shore, Hurricane Jose is whipping 90-mile-per-hour winds, creating dangerous currents as it barrels up the East Coast. On its heels, Hurricane Maria, strengthening as it heads straight for Barbuda, St. Martin, and the Virgin Islands, all trying to pick up the pieces in the aftermath of the Category 5 strike they faced just days ago.
How critical are the next few days ahead for those places that have already been hit by Hurricane Irma?
Well, they already have the mental anguish and the burden of trying to pick up after Irma has gone through and now bearing down with Maria. There's so much in front of them right now, and still the season has 10 weeks to go.
In Puerto Rico, the governor warning this hurricane could be even worse.
Make sure that your families are safe. We can start the rebuilding process once again after this storm passes.
While neighbors wait anxiously and get ready for round two.
Just buying some plywood to lock up the doors and windows.
Morgan Radford, NBC News, Miami.
Holding our breath, there were new demonstrations today in St. Louis, 2 days after a white former police officer who shot a black man was found not guilty of murder. The protests followed vandalism last night at more than 20 businesses. We get more from NBC's Blake McCoy.
As police worked to clear the streets, protesters in St. Louis turned violent for a second night.
Okay, oh my gosh, someone just smashed the window at Blueberry Hill.
Smashing the windows of 24 businesses in a popular suburban shopping district. Chaos in the darkness, leading to a handful of arrests. A stark contrast to the larger, peaceful rally that had taken place earlier.
We do not condone this. And I'm probably speaking for a lot of us.
Estela Meza's Mexican restaurant was among those vandalized.
What do you think?
This is really bad. You know, it's sad for me.
Since the acquittal of former police officer Jason Stockley Friday and the 2011 killing of Anthony Lamar Smith, protesters have been looking to disrupt, going into neighborhoods, shutting down busy commercial districts, and a shopping mall.
Why target busy commercial areas like this?
So that everyone can understand that there's pain. And until everyone feels the pain, then there's no sense of urgency to address it.
The economic impact is being felt, with both U2 and Ed Sheeran canceling big concerts this weekend.
Sure, it's a hit on the economy, but I think it was the right decision.
By daybreak, neighbors arrived to help these businesses clean up. Help no one asked for, but that came anyway.
We know we're a loving city. There's a lot of heart here.
On this boarded-up business, a mural representing a common goal, justice and peace. Blake McCoy, NBC News, University City, Missouri.
Up next, a mysterious death in Mexico tied to a hit Netflix series. A popular TV series ripped from the headlines tonight is making headlines. The news involves the apparent murder in Mexico of a location scout for the Netflix series Narcos about the rise and fall of Colombian drug cartels. Was the killing a random act of violence or something more sinister? NBC's Ann Thompson has that story.
It is drama rooted in real events. The violent, gritty Netflix hit series Narcos about powerful drug cartels. Now, tragically, life seems to be imitating art. In what could be a Narcos plot point, location scout Carlos Munoz Portal shot multiple times and left for dead while looking for filming sites. Mexican media reporting the 37-year-old's life ended an hour and a half northeast of Mexico City on an unnamed road.
I spoke to his sister Julieta today.
What did he want the rest of the world to see about Mexico?
Well, he wanted to see that. He just wanted to show how beautiful a country it really is and how nice people are, and just to be able to show it off.
Born in Mexico, Munoz Portal made a career using his homeland as the setting for cinema fantasy, scouting locations for the James Bond film Spectre, the Fast and Furious franchise, and a host of other movies and series.
He felt very lucky to be able to live the life he was living.
The rise of drug gangs and murders make Mexico a risky location for filmmakers.
So they're looking for an authenticity, certainly on the landscape. I don't think anybody was looking for a fatality.
In a statement, Netflix extended its condolences to Munoz Portal's family, saying the facts surrounding his death are still unknown as authorities continue to investigate. A business of make-believe marred by deadly reality. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Back with winter weather in September. The scene in Montana today, with five more days of summer, winter storm warnings were in effect for some areas this weekend, and higher elevations got their first significant snow of the season. I'm not joking. The snow provided at least a little relief to areas battling wildfires. A late summer winter wonderland. That is NBC Nightly News for this Sunday night. I'll see you tomorrow on Today as we launch a network-wide look at the issue of hazing on college campuses. Lester Holt will be here tomorrow night. I'm Kate Snow in New York. For all of us here at NBC News, have a great night.